Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the TomTom First Quarter 2010 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. We will be facilitating a question-and-answer session towards the end of today's prepared remarks, at which time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star one on your telephone. If at any time during the call you require audio assistance, feel free to press star zero, and a conference coordinator will be happy to assist you. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now turn the call over to your host for today's conference, Richard Piekaar, Manager, Investor Relations. You may begin.
Good afternoon and good morning to those of you joining from North America. Welcome to our conference call, in which we will discuss our financial results for the first quarter of 2010. With me today are Harold Goddijn, TomTom CEO, and Marino Reyes, our CFO. By now, you should have received a copy of our earnings release, which was distributed earlier today. It is also available on our website. Additionally, this call is being broadcast live on our website, and a recording of the call will be available shortly afterwards. As usual, I would like to point out that Safe Harbor applies. We will begin with Harold, who will discuss the market developments and the business review, followed by a more detailed look at the quarterly financial results for Marino. We will then take your questions. This call will finish no later than 3:00. I would now like to turn the call over to Harold.
Thank you very much, Richard. Good afternoon. I would like to start with a few highlights. We performed well this quarter, reporting significant year-on-year revenue growth due to strong performance of all our four business units. The group revenue increased by 26% year-over-year to 268 million, and our profitability improved substantially compared to the same period last year. In the quarter, we continued our geographical expansion of our V&D sales and our location and navigation content coverage. We also strengthened our position in the automotive industry through a further rollout of our solutions to Ford and in the Fiat Group. In the quarter, we refreshed our mid and entry-level P&D product ranges. On slide four, you can see our P&D market share in the European and North American market. TomTom's P&D market shares grew in both geographies. Compared to the same period last year, our market share in Europe grew to 47% and 22% in North America. In North America, the market was stable compared to the first quarter of 2009, with 2.6 million units, and the European market tightened to 2.7 million units from 3.2 million units in the same period last year. Based on those developments in the P&D market, we continue to expect to sell similar volumes this year as we did last year. Now, let me walk you through some of the operational highlights of the quarter. Geographically, we expanded our map coverage to over 100 countries across the globe and introduced our P&Ds in Morocco and Mexico. Our automotive business grew its position in the in-dash market by rolling out our Blue and Me TomTom solution to the new Alfa Romeo Mito and Giulietta. Also in the quarter, Ford announced that it will use our maps and location content in their future products. We introduced our latest location and navigation content, including attributes such as gradient, road curvature, to support advanced driver assistance systems to create different applications like eco-routing, adaptive cruise control, energy management, headlight steering, road preview, and curve warning. At the beginning of the quarter, we introduced the TomTom Ease, which is our entry-level P&D in North America. The device has a new simplified user interface with a two-icon touchscreen, and at the end of the quarter, we also introduced new versions of the TomTom Start and XL in Europe. In the quarter, the net number of subscribers to our Webfleet solution grew sequentially by 8,000 to 104,000. Year-over-year, the number of subscriptions grew by 41% from 74,000. Our outlook for the full year is unchanged. We expect flat revenue and earnings per share. On the product front, we remain on track with our product development to bring new innovations to the market this year. I would now like to hand over to Marina to discuss the financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Harold. I'd first like to start with the new revenue analysis that we have prepared, which you find on slide number 7. So as of this quarter, as you'll see, have seen from the press release, we're reporting a new revenue split that is aimed to give you greater insight into business performance. The revenue split shows revenue by business unit, so split between consumer, automotive, licensing and work, and also by segment, firstly hardware, and secondly content and services. Group revenue increased by 26% year-on-year to €268 million, and in absolute terms, the business units, automotive and consumer, were the main contributors to this growth. The revenue division between hardware and content and services remained stable compared to the same quarter of last year at a 70-30 split. And this is the result of comparable growth of content and subscription sales and also automotive and consumer hardware sales. And at the bottom of the slide, you can see the relative distribution of business unit revenues. Automotive and work grew their relative contribution to the group as a whole year on year. The consumer business remains the biggest contributor to group revenue, although compared to the first quarter of last year, non-consumer revenue increased from 24 to 31% of total group revenue. If we now turn to the earnings overview of the group, the gross margin for the group for the quarter was 54%, which was an increase of 4 percentage points year on year, and an 8 percentage point increase quarter on quarter. Sequentially, the increase was a result of the change in product and geographical mix, while year on year, geographical mix and foreign exchange rates were responsible for the increase. In the quarter, total operating expenses amounted to €127 million, which was an increase of 3% or €4 million compared to the same quarter last year. And sequentially, operating expenses decreased by €7 million. Operating profit for the quarter increased year on year by €33 million to €17 million. And this compares to an operating result in the previous quarter of €111 million. And as a percentage of revenue, the operating result increased from a negative 7.5% in the first quarter of last year to a positive 6.3% in the current quarter. The interest expense for the first quarter was €8.5 million compared to €17 million in the same quarter last year and €11 million in the previous quarter. And the decrease in interest expense is the result of the reduction in outstanding borrowings, because we repaid €619 million in the second half of 2009, and we're also benefiting from the year-on-year decrease in interest rates. The other financial result shows a loss of €5.7 million, which is the same as in the previous quarter, and it compares to a loss of €16 million in the same quarter last year. It results from foreign exchange contracts put in place to cover committed and anticipated exposures in non-functional currencies. The income tax charge was €0.9 million, and it represents an effective tax rate of 22.6%. This compares with 25.7% in the first quarter of last year and 23.2% in the previous quarter. Fully diluted earnings per share were €0.01, up from a loss of €0.25 in the same quarter last year and down from €0.33 in the previous quarter. Diluted adjusted earnings per share for the quarter was €0.07 compared to a loss of €0.13 for the same period last year and compared to €0.39 in the previous quarter. If we look at operating expenses now in a bit more detail, Total operating expenses as a percentage of revenue for the quarter decreased to 47% of revenue from 58% in the same quarter of last year and compared to 25% in the previous quarter. Sequentially, we saw an increase of 12% on research and development spend to €41 million. And, you know, this increase is the result of the previously announced additional investments in research and development activities in 2010. And year on year, the increase was 10%. Marketing expenses declined sequentially in the quarter to €15 million. This was the result of seasonality in our business. In the course of 2010, we will concentrate our advertising spend around the high volume periods in the year and timing with the introduction of new products. And we expect marketing spend for the full year to be higher than it was last year, as we previously announced. SG&A expenses for the quarter were €51 million compared to €52 million in the previous quarter and the same quarter of last year. In this quarter, SG&A expenses included a €1.4 million one-off restructuring charge, while a €5.4 million restructuring charge was included in the first quarter of last year. In the fourth quarter, the restructuring charge was €2.7 million. Stock compensation expenses for the quarter were €2.8 million, up from €1.7 million in the previous quarter and €0.2 million in the first quarter of last year. Amortization of technology and databases for the quarter remained relatively stable at €17 million. On slide 10, you find the cash flow overview. And in the first quarter, the increased working capital had a negative effect on our cash position, and cash generated from operations was an outflow of €23 million. Year on year, we saw a strong reduction in cash interest paid, which was €5.9 million for the quarter compared to €31 million in the previous year. Tax payments in the quarter were €13 million, and as a result, the net cash flow from operating activities was an outflow of €41 million. And in the quarter overall, we saw a net decrease in cash of €56 million. If we turn to the balance sheet, as of the end of the quarter, current assets have decreased by €169 million compared to the previous quarter, driven mainly by a strong decrease of €116 million in trade receivables and a decrease of €55 million in the cash balance. Inventories decreased slightly in the quarter by €6 million to €61 million. Current liabilities decreased by €194 million from €799 million at the end of the fourth quarter of last year to €605 million. The decrease was caused by a decrease of €99 million in trade payables and €64 million in other liabilities and accruals. Operator, we'd now like to start with the question and answer session.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the hash key or the pound sign. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Stuart Jeffrey from Nomura is online with a question.
Hi there, thank you very much. You've done very well in terms of executing in Q1. It's just the European market growth itself that seemed a little disappointing and a bit weak. I was wondering if you could talk about the drivers of that weakness, if you're seeing any impact from substitution products, specifically concerns around mobile phones, if it's market saturation, or if it's just a lack of innovation, and if it's the latter, perhaps give us a little inkling of, you know, what do you think you can do to perhaps trigger a little bit of market growth in this space? Or perhaps I'm looking at it wrong and it's all about earnings optimization as the market stabilizes or declines. Any sort of detail on that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. The market in Europe was a bit disappointing in the first quarter. I agree with that. But we also need to bear in mind that it is a, generally speaking, a small quarter. The driving season hasn't started yet, so it's not an indicator yet, I think, for the total market size for 2010. It's also quite difficult to measure or understand what the impacts are is of different offerings of car navigation products and services, whether it's in-car or whether it is on mobile phone. The data are not reliable and in sufficient quantities available to support any conclusion at this stage. What I would like to say, however, is that you know, especially in Europe, we are really with a market leader with 47% market share, and I think in terms of product releases and innovations, the last couple of months and the last 6 months perhaps have not been very exciting, and we need to do something there to bring innovation to the market and bring innovation to the market faster, and we're working on that. And we're happy with the progress we're making in that space with new software, new back-end systems to support connectivity and wireless connectivity, downloadable applications, downloadable content, and so on and so forth. And tomorrow we will, during a event with our retailers and distributors, start to lift some of those, you know, show some of those innovations and some of the product improvements that will come through in 2010 and that we expect will help to drive, you know, a new levels of demand and you know, especially also in the repeat section of the market where we know that a lot of drivers are now driving with a car navigation system that's a couple of years old, and if new products with new levels of service and quality are brought to the market, we believe it will have positive effect on overall demand.
Thank you.
Jonathan Feng from Merrill Lynch is online with a question.
Hey guys, Johnny Singh from Merrill's here. Just got two questions. The first one, just understand what you're seeing in the channel. I mean, from your market size and share numbers, it sounds like your sell-through is 1.8 to 1.9 million units for you, but sell-in was 1.6. Was that kind of normal seasonality in terms of channel inventories, or was there anything else happening there? And I've got a follow-up question after that. Thanks.
Jonathan, yeah, we saw destocking in the first quarter, and, you know, that's a normal trend that we expect to see in Q1. The destocking impact was less than it was in the previous year when there were very high inventory levels at the end of 2008, but nonetheless, that is the difference that you see in the numbers.
Thanks. My second question, just understanding where the fixed cost base moves to this year. You said sales and marketing goes up. The R&D run rate looks higher in Q1. Do you expect a similar kind of run rate to carry on for the remaining three quarters of the year, or is there some seasonality in there?
It will be a little bit lumpy. I mean, marketing, you understand, is lumpy. I think R&D, there is some element of timing in that as well. I mean, overall, the indication, you know, is, and we said it at the time of our fourth quarter results, that, you know, overall our OPEX will go up this year, and, you know, it'll be R&D and marketing that drive that. R&D will be less lumpy than marketing, but, you know, you may see a little bit of quarterly variation in there.
Cool. Thanks very much.
Simon Schaefer from Goldman Sachs is online with a question.
Yes, thanks so much. I was wondering, just looking at your slide 7 and the new way that you've broken out your revenue contribution, I guess it's fair to say the consumer portion is growing at a slower pace structurally. I was wondering whether you'd be willing to give us some sort of indication as to whether that new emerging pie is more profitable, or how we should think about the profitability model going forward as that new piece of the pie picks up the slack. I guess for this year you sort of implicitly guided for 12% operating margin in your own model, but I was wondering how that broke up between that new emerging part of the business and perhaps what is now no longer a growth revenue stream.
Yeah, let me give a little bit of flavour on that. If we're looking at the gross profit margin, which I think is probably a good place to start on this, you know, what we see is that, you know, licensing has the highest gross profit margin in the group. It's a very high margin. Certain parts of content and services and Webfleet subscriptions also are very high gross margin businesses. Hardware sales, you know, on the P&D and work hardware, you know, it's still pretty strong gross margin there. Automotive has a lower gross margin percentage than we've traditionally seen in P&Ds. But then at the operating margin level, automotive, you see less investment in marketing. And once there is sufficient scale in that business, there is opportunity to drive, you know, a stronger EBIT margin there. So, I mean, that gives you a little bit of flavor. We don't specifically give all the percentages, but just in terms of helping with how to model it, that's how to think
about
it.
I guess just to understand structurally then, are you effectively saying that you think something along the lines of 12% operating margin, which is sort of what you've guided for implicitly for this year, is a run rate level for the structural profitability of this business under this sort of mix scenario?
Well, I think at the gross profit margin level, we're aiming for sort of high 40s to 50%, and then at the operating margin level, you know, it's all about getting growth back into the model to drive a bigger top line to cover, you know, the operating costs of the business, and that's what drives up the operating margin from the level it's at today. We will also, in some areas, continue to streamline and make things more efficient, but then we will invest more in new product development and marketing. So I think in the swing of it, really, it's about the growing the top line to drive that higher.
Yep. And Harold, maybe a follow-up question on the previous answer you gave about sort of trying to get a sense as to what measurable impact may or may not be. I guess Ovi at Nokia told us about 10 million downloads just on the map side in the quarter, which is a number that's growing pretty rapidly by the day. So just coming back to the previous point, any discernible impact that you may and may not see on an annualized basis, given that sort of run rate of growth in the downloads on the map side, which, you know, given Nokia's perhaps own internal struggles to recapture share and so on at margin, clearly that probably continues at this sort of run rate.
Yeah, it is difficult to say. We have seen navigational applications and maps on mobile phones for a very long time, for the last 3 or 4 years. And a lot of numbers have been floating around, but it's also become clear over the last years that a lot of those maps that are there and can be used are in daily life not used for all sorts of usability reasons. Now, that may change, but it is difficult to get a feeling for that. And 10 million free downloads of an application or map is not necessarily a proxy for the usage that people are actually making of those maps on a day-to-day basis. So it is difficult to say at this point, but we, you know, we're trying to understand as much as you do how the actual usage will develop and how people are doing this. But so far, it's too early to come up with any hard conclusions, I'm afraid.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Nicholas von Stackelberg from Macquarie is online with a question.
Yes, thanks for taking my question. I was wondering whether you plan to stop reporting ASP and the number of P&Ds you're going to sell in the future.
What we have announced in our press release today is that after this quarter, we're no longer specifically going to give TomTom ASPs or P&D volumes. Having said that, we still intend to give the information on the size of the market and market share, so we shouldn't be too far away from being helpful there on volumes. But the real, I think the real discussion point is around ASPs, and I want to explain the reason for this. As we see increasingly going forward, there will be more products, more services and content bundled into our product sales, and different ways of selling services and content. And what's going to happen there is it's going to make ASPs increasingly difficult to compare period on period and trends to be understandable. And we could start to quote different types of ASPs, but, you know, our worry with that is people will pick up different ASPs and interpret them differently, and it will cause confusion rather than clarity. We're very happy to talk about overall, you know, what we see in pricing trends in the market and to be as helpful as we can, but we don't believe that we will help with clarity by, you know, giving the ASP disclosure, given the change in the business model as we go forward.
Okay. My second question is
want to be as helpful as possible, so it's not, there's no, you know, you can see we've increased the level of disclosure on segments overall. You can get, you get more feel for how the business is broadening here, and we want to be as helpful as possible.
Yes, I do appreciate that, and I mean, supply, it makes sense to report it this way and also to give the breakdown of hardware versus software. Having said this, I mean, clearly you are aware of how Nokia breaks out their numbers, and they have taken a different choice, which is fine. It's just I just wanted to get your reasons why you would not provide different sets of ASPs, which do would allow us to dig deeper. Anyway, my second question is on the revenues from outside North America and Europe. I mean, you've put substantial resources into developing your businesses outside of those two geographies, but until now, there's not so much to show for it. Is this more a market issue, or what's holding back those markets? I mean, even currency exchange rates on balance should have helped you. So I'm trying to understand what's happening on that front.
So your question is about a geographical expansion outside North America and Europe?
Exactly, because if I understand, year-over-year, revenues from outside North America and Europe declined, and I would have thought, given that you've entered a number of new geographies, that we might see some traction, or maybe this is something that will develop during the course of this year.
Yeah, well, in terms of rest of the world, it is a small part of our revenue. But you know, what we're doing is working very much hand in hand with, you know, the mapping side of the business to roll out products as the maps are available. You know, I think in terms of you know, how do we see this developing? As we go through 2010, we, you know, we expect growth in some of the our emerging markets, but it remains a small part of the business. And you know, what we've also got to remember is that some of the growing revenue streams from other parts of our business, non-PND parts, are more focused on the European market, which will tend to distort the numbers anyway. But we are expanding our business geographically. You can see this from the quarter. And, you know, there will be other countries that we move into.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Alexander Piatek from Exane is online with a question.
Yes, hi, thank you for taking my question. Well, my first question would be pertaining to gross margins. Could you maybe detail between the business mix? Obviously, more Europe is better for your gross margins and less U.S. in this quarter due to seasonality. So how much of your gross margin success was due to this mix issue, and how much was due to currency or any other issues you'd like to point out?
Yeah, let me take that question. In terms of the sequential change, the sequential increase in the gross profit margin was driven principally by the change in product mix. So in the fourth quarter, we sell a lot more P&Ds overall in the mix, and we also have a lot of promotional activity for the Christmas and holiday period, and also geographically much more U.S. in the fourth quarter. In Q1, as you can see, there is a higher element of content and services in the mix and more Europe. So that's what drove the change quarter on quarter. FX was not a reason in the sequential increase in the gross profit margin percentage. Year on year, the contributors were FX. So year on year, our gross profit margin increased by 4 percentage points, and a little over 2 percentage points of that were FX. And the rest of it was down to geography, where we saw this year more in Europe than the U.S. compared with last year.
Okay, thanks. And then a little follow-up would be on the actual P&D market development, which is now down year-on-year in both Europe and North America. Are you concerned that this might actually accelerate as the proliferation of navigation solutions on smartphones continues, or will we see a softening and a stabilization of this market? How do you see this market developing in medium term? Thanks.
Yeah, again, we plan for same volume in 2010 of P&Ds as we did in 2009. We have taken into account wider availability of navigation on mobile phones. And from what we've seen so far, there are no indications to us that we should change those number or expectations.
Okay, thanks very much.
Wim Gilley from Royal Bank of Scotland is online with a question.
Yeah, good afternoon. Wim Gilley from RBS. I've got two questions. The first one is on the potential cannibalization from smartphones. Do you have or do you feel that your clients or that in discussions with clients this is a issue at all? Potentially, if you look at cannibalization from smartphones, the iPhone application would be the first victim. So what can you see in terms of developments in the downloads for the iPhone, whether there is any, visibility or any sign that there's going to be some cannibalization from smartphones? That would be my first question.
Sorry, Wim, so when you say clients, you mean our partners in retail and distribution partners?
That's correct.
Yeah. We have a big retail and distributors event tomorrow, so we'll hear again firsthand how they look at market developments. But I think it's fair to say that retailers are still serious about the product category. They're very keen to continue to drive that business. I think it's also fair that they start to rationalize their product assortment somewhat. You know, in previous years we saw quite a bit of activity of small brands picking off market share 1 week and disappearing the next week. That type of activity is gone. So it's a more stable, more mature, and better plannable business than it was perhaps last year or 2 years ago. But I don't think what we don't see is that we see material reductions of shelf space or shop floor space in Europe at this stage. The second question about the cannibalization on the iPhone, I'm not sure I fully understood that question. What was it exactly you were referring to, Ben?
Well, if there's going to be any cannibalization from smartphones into your business, probably the iPhone application that you run on Apple's platform would be the first victim. So given the fact that the likes of Google and Nokia started a little over a year ago with their free offerings, what can you say? Did you see any impact at all about on trends in download patterns or whatsoever? Did you see a reduction in downloads already at this stage, or is it still stable, moving up?
Yeah, no, on the iPhone we see stable development. There is no big change there. So both the application are doing well, and the separate cradle we're selling with the improved GPS performance is also selling well and in line with the previous quarter.
Okay, very good. And then I've got a second question on the automotive business. We saw a 8% growth in the automotive segment. If you look at your, and that would assume or that should give some indication that you're still ramping up within your current existing client base, can you give us a bit of feeling on where we stand with respect to the ramp-up within your current automotive client base, and if there's room for further growth within your current client base, and how we should look at that on a quarter-over-quarter basis in the coming quarters?
Yeah, we are still in ramp-up phase with our existing customers. So, you know, as we go through the rest of this year, based on existing customers, you know, we will see increases in quarterly revenues from in our automotive side, or, you know, in our automotive business unit. So still ramping up, but what you won't see is the kind of step change that you've seen Q109 to Q110. It'll be less marked as we go forwards now, but still increasing.
You're very good. Thank you very much.
Hans Love from Rainbow Securities is online with a question.
Yes, good afternoon. A follow-up on Wim's question. Could you elaborate on the take rate you're seeing on the Renault contract? Is that still trending upwards, and is it still positively surprising, and where do we stand at the moment, and where could it go to?
Yeah, we're currently looking at take rates within the Renault group of approximately 40%.
And
so that is that's a high number, you know, relative to the industry average.
Mm-hmm.
So we're quite pleased with that. Also, what we're pleased with is that we are in more and more Renault models available now as optional equipment. So that is that's developing in line with our expectations, I would say.
Yeah. And do you expect to see a meaningful contribution from your extended relationships with Alfa Romeo and Ford already in 2010?
It's building up as we speak. So we could announce further introduction into other model ranges in the Fiat group, which is good. So we will continue to build on our presence within that Fiat community of companies.
Okay. Thanks.
Luke Van Wijk from Petercam is online with a question.
Yes, I have a question on the growth in the consumer content and services, which grew very quickly if you filter out the P&D sales in that segment. I was wondering if you can give some more color on which products were responsible mainly for that growth.
Yes, I mean, you're correct. The content and services side of consumer is growing well. You know, what drives that year on year is increases in you know, map sales, subscriptions, live services sales, and also, of course, the, you know, iPhone downloads as well, which were not in the in the mix in Q1 2009. So, you know, it's a broad mix of contributors there, but going well.
But there's not one category that's standing out, like the live services that were probably a very small percentage last year?
No, I think they're contributors across the board, but I think if you look year on year, you know, the iPhone makes a significant difference because, as I say, it was not there last year.
Okay, thank you.
Malvika Gupta from JP Morgan is online with a question.
Father, thank you for taking my question. Just a couple left. I had a question on working capital requirements and how you sort of see the years going forward given, I guess, investment requirements for growing segments, and also whether you're seeing any pressure from component shortages in the supply chain.
Okay, well, let me take working capital first. You know, in 2009, we drove an awful, you know, we drove a lot of money by really working very hard on reducing our working capital. And I think we generated, you know, well in excess of 100 million euros out of that. And what I said coming into 2010 was that I expected our working capital to go up a little bit, but we will still continue. You know, we've taken a step change down in what we're carrying in inventory. We have really worked very hard to get the payment side on the supply chain kind of more harmonized and in line. And you know, we'll continue with that as we go through 2010. But nonetheless, I do expect some increase in working capital overall for this year, which comes partly from probably on balance carrying a little bit more inventory than last year. And, you know, part of the reason for that is because of the ramp-up of the automotive side of the business. You know, and other than that, we will manage things as tightly as we can, but we need to make sure we don't compromise sales.
And on component shortages?
Component shortages, and the supply chain is pretty much okay at the moment. But as we look forward further in the year, you know, there are signs of tightening in some areas and some price rises in some areas, but, you know, nothing that I would say at this stage is in any way material to our numbers, but we just need to watch and manage it carefully.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Martin Dendrivje from SNS Securities is online with a question.
Yes, good afternoon. Basically, all of my key questions have been answered. Just a couple of, actually one, on your guidance for the CapEx for 2010, because it was much lower in Q1 than it was last year. Can you update us on that element?
Yeah, I mean, the reason it was lower this year than last year was because last year in Q1 we had some significant HD traffic investments in terms of the rollout into particular countries. So, you know, that's what really drove it. But other than that, I think in terms of the run rate for CapEx overall for the year, I don't expect it to be very different to last year overall for the year.
Okay, thank you very much. That was it.
Mark Sassenberg from ING is online with a question.
Yes, good afternoon. A few questions left from my side. First of all, on your live services, can you give us an indication of the number of subscribers at the moment and also your retention rates in the first quarter, please?
Yeah, we have approximately 700,000 active devices out there now, which are both receiving information, but also a large proportion also sending information about traffic flows and information about speed cameras. So that's a growing and that's a growing community. But we want to accelerate growth there as well. We've got some plans for that, and we will start talking about some of those plans tomorrow. During our event when we have retailers around and distributors around. But it is our intention to continue to build on live services, most importantly to really improve the daily usage of our products, to enhance the accuracy and make them more and more an integral part of the driving experience. And we believe connectivity and live real-time services are important for that. They can provide a platform for further growth and further innovation. So we want to become a, you know, we want to have a larger installed base out there, and I think some improvements in the business model can help us to get there and accelerate a penetration of connected devices in the marketplace.
Okay, so you've got 700,000 paying customers now.
Well, no. They've all paid for the device, and part of the purchase price is for the services in the first 3 months, depending on the product offering exactly. But so with a large or some customers are still in trial period, and the other customers are paying customers. I don't know exactly what the distribution is, but the renewal rate is somewhere between 25% and 30% of customers who run out of a their trial period, then renew the contract.
Okay. And what about the prices? Anything to mention there besides the old prices? Some strategy maybe to lower the prices there because of some free offerings here and there?
Well, I don't want to comment on this at this stage, but as I said, we're looking at improvements in the business model to allow us to roll this out on a much larger scale than what we've done so far.
So that will likely be then tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another question on your work, your fleet management division. An old target is that you would like to have, say, more than 300,000 subscribers by 2011. We're currently on 104. Is there maybe a good time maybe to give an update on targets, what you now expect to achieve for 2011?
I mean, I think it's at this stage, I don't think we've got a different figure to give. I'm not sure, I can't recall if that was by the end of 2011 or exact timing, but, you know, we're pretty satisfied with progress there. And, you know, we've added the number we expected to add in the quarter and everything's on track. But I have to come back to you later in the year with you know, targets for particular periods and time, but it's going well at the moment. Fastest growing telematics company in Europe, and as I said, you know, we're happy with how it's doing.
And then maybe a final one on your guidance. This quarter, you had quite a higher number of P&Ds than last year. Still keep it at a flat for the year. Is there a reason for the caution? Is it because of, indeed, looking at European data that is quite weak, or is there any reason to be still quite cautious?
Well, I mean, we're pleased with how we performed in Q1 this year. But as I said at the start of this call, you know, if you look at destocking in the channel, it was less marked this year than last year. And I think although, you know, things have gone fine and on track this quarter, I think it's a bit early in the year. It's a low P&D quarter, Q1 anyway. So I think we need to see how things go during the second quarter and beyond before we can make further comments.
Yeah, because it seems that there's a bit of inventory building happening at the moment in Q1, so therefore we should be a bit more careful for Q2. Is that something you're saying?
No. It's not. There's no inventory building.
Okay.
There was destocking in the first quarter, but at a lower level than last year, because last year there was so much inventory in the channel at the, you know, at the end of 2008, if you like.
Okay.
But there's been destocking in Q1 2010, as we usually see in Q1.
Okay, then the final one on the U.S., any reason for your market share gains there? Because, yeah, you, for Q, you had Walmart in there. Was there still an impact in Q1, or is Garmin getting less price aggressive? Could you maybe comment on that one for the U.S., please?
Yeah, there's no one single reason, but the we create. Yeah, I think one of the things that I think contributes to our strengthening of the position in North America is that we shipped a large number of units last year in Q4. They're very good products. You know, we know that from research and feedback. We've created a larger installed base, and that will help us to solidify our position.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Ashish Sinha from Morgan Stanley is online with a question.
Hi. All of my questions have been answered, so thank you.
Andre Knitner from Jefferies is online with a question.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. All of my questions have been pretty much answered. I just wanted to see if you can provide a bit more visibility on what is going on in with the iPhone app. If you can tell us where the attach rates are right now, given that the iPhone shipments have been pretty strong this quarter. Thank you.
You know, we what we've said is that iPhone downloads of the, our application have been pretty stable in Q1, so at a pretty similar level to what we saw in the fourth quarter of last year. We've recently also added traffic to our offering there, and we continue to, you know, roll out the application more widely. But pretty stable and going well.
Thank you.
Niels de Zwart from Fortis Bank Netherlands is online with a question.
Good afternoon. Just one question left. I know you can't go into much details, but could you tell us something about the general trend of the discussions you're having with automotive manufacturers for in-dash type of deals you've got with Renault and Fiat? Something about the general trends you see, something that could help us over there?
Unfortunately, not at this stage in terms of contract, you know, in terms of concrete announcements. You know, the only thing we can look at is that our products in the Renault product range are doing extremely well, and that has not gone unnoticed. We are a factor now in the automotive business. We have, we believe in Europe, our market share is now bigger than 10%. Products are received by the general public very favorably. And we've also demonstrated now that we can actually produce those units at very high quality standards with very little returns and defects. So all that has not gone unnoticed, and we see that also in the level of interest and the type of questions we can, and discussions we have with the industry. So I think our position is good. Solid basis to go forward, but no news, no further announcements at this stage, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have no further questions at this time. I will now pass the call over to Harold Goddijn.
Okay, well, thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for participating in this call. I wish you all a very pleasant day, and thank you for your participation.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.